When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello to you, my bitches. It's Tilly here from the podcast you're about to listen to. This week, we are chatting about the artist Tracy Emin with our amazing guest, Katie Wicks. Before we start, I just want to give a little trigger warning for discussions of sexual assault and eating disorders in this episode. As ever, please rate us 5 stars on the iTunes if you haven't already. It honestly is all that's keeping me going. Thanks. Now it's on with the bitching. Welcome back to Bitchin.
This is the podcast where we talk about people.
And every week we talk about a different person.
And sometimes we have people on to talk about people, which we do this week.
Which we do this week.
I'm so excited.
We have the wonderful Katie Wicks.
Hello.
And we are here in her house and she's made us tea.
Thank you for
And
the
she's
tea.
Assembled Thank some you. Birds for a lovely chorus outside.
And who do you want to bitch about?
I don't know if it's bitching. Well, this is the thing. I'd like to talk about Tracy Emin, if I may.
Yes, you may. Yeah,
but in the course of reminding myself about what it is that I found interesting about her,
mm-hmm. yeah,
over these last few days, a refresher course, I've kind of slightly fallen in love with her.
Same.
Yeah, she's
really
fabulous.
Yeah, I love yeah. her.
Yeah,
we don't have to hate on this podcast. You can
when we
I
say
came
bitch,
in with
it's...
some prejudices, but,
yeah,
and I still don't have the answers. We'll come to that because obviously, you know, like all the best people, I think she's quite a mixture of, you know, contradictions.
Yeah.
But in general, I think she's it.
Yes,
she's
same.
She's
yeah.
everything.
The thing is, generally, like when we say bitch, it's like we're bitching about someone. Because I'm a massive bitch. I talk about all my friends. I'll talk about you guys later
great.
On about what I think
yeah.
is going on there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it is
Not
more
about
than
me,
like.
Though.
No, never about
no.
me. I do it to your face.
But yeah, no, I actively enjoy reflecting on where people went wrong.
When did you? Same. When did you first? When did Tracy Emin first cross
that's
your
a really
radar?
Great question. So. Quite a long answer. It's quite a sentimental answer, actually. My dad, who died maybe, I think it's coming up to a year, that's his painting there. So he was a really
wow.
talented artist.
That's incredible.
There's like a painting of a woods, listeners, that I'm looking at, which is up on my...
It's beautiful.
What I like about it as well is you don't get frames like that anymore. It's like a gold, ornate
yeah.
frame. And now, like, you know, modern frames are just these kind of...
You haven't got any.
Functional.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's a sort of, it looks like something from a, like a kind of Rococo. It shouldn't go in this flat, but strangely it does. He, it was always the thing we really bonded over when I was little, was painting and drawing. And he was, had all these books about old masters and things like that, and the Impressionists and all that kind of thing. And I was always really into it. It was something that we shared. And then when I was a teenager, when the Sensation exhibition happened, you know, the one that kind of made her famous and launched her.
Is that the one with the bed?
Yes, exactly. And it was all those people like Damien Hirst and Sarah Lucas mm-hmm. and Rachel Whiteread and people like that. And I remember when I saw that as a teenager, I thought, oh, no, that's the kind of stuff I like from now on. It's not like stuff that my dad liked. So that was the first time there was like a separation of interests. So I kind of liked her ever since because I think I identify her with rebellion, but also just originality and, you know, creativity. I just think she's really fearless.
Mm. Yeah. Well, all of her work, just in case anyone doesn't know, is autobiographical artwork. And I guess it's really rare as well to just see, like that bed thing where it was a construction of her bed. And
yeah.
to see a woman's kind of domestic setting,
yeah.
but in such a chaotic way that we actually completely go, that's real.
Do you know the story behind the bird?
No.
So I rewatched her on the South Bank show, which I really recommend for anyone who wants an introduction to her. The bird basically came about because she was having this depressive episode where she'd gone out drinking, come back, and basically didn't get out of bed for 4 days. Wow. And past a certain point, she was like, I'm either going to stay here and die, but if I can get myself to the kitchen and drink some water, I'll be fine. She said she crawled to the kitchen to get some water, came back, and looked at the bed, and she said she went, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, my
but
God,
also, when she said that, she kind of put a frame around it and said, actually, this has kept me alive, it's held me up.
Mm.
And I think that about my bed, because since I'm living in this flat, there's been so much bereavement and things happening, and I would say to my friends, like, I can't... There's something about my bed, it became like this pit of grief.
Mm.
And when I heard her saying that, I thought, actually, no, it's like it's holding me up and it's keeping me rested and safe. The first time I saw the bed, it was really funny. It was in Edinburgh, in that gallery there, that quite the big one that's off the...
I only know it based
George
on
Street.
Venues for Fringe Festival. Is it near Sea Main?
Sea Main, RIP.
It was really funny because... There was this sort of like guy in his 50s, the like a attendant guy. I can't think what you call them. Steward. Me and my best friend specifically went to see the bed, and we said to him, which room's the bed in? And he seemed really... sort of pissed off that he had to, that the bed was there. He's really like...
Oh, really? Like snobby almost.
I think because he was just like a sort of guy in his 50s who just thought it was really disgusting that that was in his like nice gallery.
I love that. I think that's the point, isn't it?
I remember thinking that, yeah. And the thing when I finally saw it, it was only about 7 years ago, and I remember thinking it was actually not, it was quite... tame. I was expecting something, so because of the fuss that was made of like the condoms and the cigarettes and the stains, but then actually I remember thinking, oh, like, well, that could easily be times in my life, that's not that shocking.
Yeah,
it was kind of quite quiet, and I think it was just at the time. She always says that no one, the fact that no one had done it before was also so key. People have made art from objects before, but I think no one had thought to put their bed in a gallery.
Also, autobiographical stuff has been done before, but rarely from a sort of working class woman.
Yeah.
And so it just is an original voice, particularly in the art world, which is really elite. And I know someone asked her, why did you do autobiographical stuff? And she said, because I am better than anything I've ever made, which I thought also was... I was surprised because so much of it is about trauma and her kind of traumatic experiences. I was surprised that was such a kind of self-love position of actually wanting to represent herself because she thought she was worth that, like, value, and that's what she's made a decision that she like how art has value, she's got value in that.
Yeah, I'm halfway through her book. It's kind of because I'm writing a book as well at the moment, and what I love about it is that it's like, she doesn't hide the fact she left school at 13. Mm. It's not like well-constructed sentences, but it's totally vulnerable. It's so honest.
Mm.
It's so real. But I remember when it came out, it was like 2005 or something. You might want to fact check that. But I remember there was one of those late review type things when they were reviewing her book. And this woman said, oh, I wish it had been edited by someone that loved and cared for her. And I remember that really, like, stung. I thought that was such an awful thing to say, and I think about it all the time when I'm writing in an autobiographical way. Like, I suppose the implication was, like, she's said too much and that someone should have protected her. And that made me feel really sort of, like, voyeuristic when I read it, because it is so honest and shocking, and that she was... It's abuse and rape and that she was sexual from such a young age...
Yeah.
But doesn't even sort of say, doesn't really have an opinion about it, just kind of so matter of fact. It's just like an itinerary of things that were done to her.
Yeah.
And that really haunts me, that thing, all the time, whenever I write something honest. the idea that someone would read it and go, oh, ouch. You, if someone cared for her, they would have gone, you shouldn't say that out loud. It really scares me.
But I also,
what's too much?
Yeah, I also wonder if part of, like, why Tracy Emin was so reviled when she came out with the bed and the tent everyone I've ever slept with, that work. I wonder if part of it kind of rebels against that British repression of, like, oh no, don't say what you really feel because that will be awful for everyone at dinner. And it's like, no, actually, there is...
Yeah.
I think no one could watch an interview with Tracy Emin and think, oh, there's one of life's victims.
Yeah, definitely.
You watch, and she always says, my work won't be any good when I'm dead, which I disagree with, but I understand why she says that.
Because she's like living art.
Yeah.
And the person who said that she, you know, that idea of needing protection also makes an assumption that there's no construction at all to it. Because although it's autobiographical, it is controlled and she is totally in control of what she's putting out there. Because I don't know if you saw...
she says that. She curates and thinks and edits it's not all true.
Everything's a decision.
Yeah.
And I think that's really clear with... I don't know if you saw her ex-boyfriend from when she was 14 auctioned a love letter that he sent to her. So she was 14 at the time and he was 22. That in itself is...
Nonce really... alert! Nonce! Nonce in the building! Yeah.
And she really hated it because... And a lot of people were saying, but you put yourself out there, so this is what you should expect. And the argument that she made was, no, I make a choice about... You know, she's empowered by what she puts out there. So then... this guy who was 22, you know, having a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old, to then still be kind of controlling her and abusing her 30 years later just made me go, gross.
I also, what I think is really interesting about, like, the more recent interviews as well, is that because of, it's interesting the way she's treated differently from other artists, like, underestimated, I think. Like, the fact that, in interviews, people say things like, and of course, you can actually draw and paint, people would be surprised to hear. Like, it's such a sort of defensive position. Like, it's infuriating because you don't hear that with other artists.
Picasso.
You say, oh, you know, like she should have to prove that she also has skill. The fact that she was like, she taught drawing at the Royal Academy. She was like the head of department, wasn't she? The first female to do that, which is unbelievable. I really like her drawings. But
because she draws more now, doesn't she? She's moved towards kind of away.
A little delicate watercolours. But then I've heard people say, oh, we were expecting something shocking and we get this kind of... So it's like she can't win if she's not shocking. And also, like, that's these interviews with these old, like, these old dinosaurs interview her and you can tell that they make all these assumptions about her and she's constantly having to kind of explain herself that she's more than one thing, which I do relate to. I think anytime you're known for one thing, it's like people can't handle the idea that you might be something else.
Yeah. Especially as a woman.
Yeah. That is just so infuriating. I don't know why people have to do that. I listened to her Desert Island Discs this morning.
Yeah.
And,
I'm definitely going to listen to that as it goes.
It's great. Yeah. Is it Sue Lawley that used to do it, the old one? This is going to become a just bitching about Sue.
That's a lot.
But she was so like, it's really like a bit condescending, and you could tell that she had this version of Tracy Emin in her head as this sort of like rebellious, crazy, outrageous pixie, and the stuff she was saying was just like very sensitive, very thought through, and like very sort of like forcing people to witness all this pain. I think that's what makes people uncomfortable as well, isn't it? It's like, she doesn't want to be rescued, but she just talks about her pain all the time. And you can hear interviewers being like, well, I don't know how to say, like, oh, I'm so sorry, are you okay? Or, you know, they just kind of go, oh, okay, that's interesting. So this is about being raped. Great, and when did you paint this? It's so, it's so sort of blurred. But it's so amazing that it's out there, that she's just talking about her unhappiness, but she's a millionaire and she just... There's a bit in her book and it's so extraordinary. It says something like, here I am, an anorexic, alcoholic, childless, beautiful woman. It was just unbelievable. Like, I just haven't read many books by someone who's in that state. It's incredible to me.
It's interesting how ahead of her time she was as well, because she was talking... I saw an interview where she was talking about the Me Too movement and she was saying it's so amazing that it's happened, but it's all I've ever been doing is saying talk about your trauma, become an owner of your trauma in order to kind of move on and find a way of going to the next phase of your life. And she's like, it's so great, that's now what's actively encouraged. And I bet what I hope, and I wonder why she thinks her work won't have value anymore, is because she's trying to create a culture where actually it's okay to just talk about things that have happened to you and it not be an extreme and a shocking. And the reason she got so much profile and gets so much profile is because it still is quite unusual in our culture. But I wonder if her kind of hope is that it will become less and less provocative.
When she, it's really shocking when she, something I read when she talked about being raped, she said she called it being broken into, and said that that was the term that got used. Oh, I was broken into last night, and that people went, oh, you know, and even her mum went, you know, like, this is what happened. I, when I speak to like old sort of glamorous actresses in the sort of 60s and 70s, there's a really heartbreaking thing sometimes where they, all their story is about acting in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s seem to end in, oh, and then, you know, he locked me in the dressing room and felt me up, whatever. And they say it with this total kind of like passivity.
Yeah.
The way my mum kind of used to a bit, like, oh, you know, that's what happened. That's like, that's what men do.
Matter of factness. Yeah.
My mum was always like, that's just what men do, darling. And like, it's terrifying. Even when she was talking about the violation, she said that, because on the Desert Island Discs, Sue Thingy says, why didn't you report it? And you just think, like, if you were, like, 13, you're working class, you're not even going to school, what part of your brain is going to know that that's, that something bad has even happened to you?
Yeah.
If it's so normal. I remember that feeling so clearly, like, of not wanting to draw attention to yourself, not wanting to, like, make a fuss. Mm. Thinking that you somehow probably invited the attention. Mm. Like, it's so maddening when people say, well, why didn't you sort of say anything? Mm. And she did. She said something to her mum.
The fact she's saying that on Desert Island Disc, that's the response.
I know.
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
It's really...
I hope we are moving away from that now. But also, I think what's amazing with the kind of the fact that she talks about her trauma is that kind of... I guess, trying to find the right wording of it. She's never, I think what people find disarming is the fact that, like you say, people expect her to be this, like, oh, I'm Tracy Emin, I'm with blah, blah. And actually she's like a deeply sensitive person.
Yeah, of course.
Who talks about their trauma in a way that's not like, oh, woe is me, I'm the worst, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone, blah, blah, blah. It's like so open, and there's such a... And there's such a power in that, I think, to be like, this happened to me, and now I'm making art about it, and now you're viewing it.
Yeah,
I think that is like a... She talks about the bed on the South Park show, and she says that there was a transference of energy when people went and saw the bed, which as soon as she said that, like, it's happening again. All my hairs on my body stood on end, because I was like, God, that is so powerful to... take your pain and make something that you've chosen to make. I just think it's like one of the most healing, like, things you could do.
It's like, it's about connection as well, isn't it? Like, if you made some art about your pain and people saw it and understood it, I would just feel like I'd connect, I'd done something, people had got it, and I would feel so connected. Mm. And that it was somehow more bearable that it had happened or something as well. It always feels like that when you make something out of something.
Mm.
Totally. And she will have impacted people. Well, it's interesting you saying you went and saw her work and then you were like, that's now what I like and that's the work that I make, because that's actually not about her also. It's about you and the impact that it's having on you, which is really rare to go around an art gallery, particularly as a young woman, I think, and go, oh, I really relate to this.
Yeah, completely.
And I think it's true, and even the way she makes things, I saw a video where she was in her studio and she was mixing paints in this really, like, crappy plastic
thing. I've seen that
And she was saying, you know, I don't use the proper equipment, I just do what I want to do. And she used to paint was it oils? And then
oh yeah, and then she had a breakdown.
She had a breakdown, so the smell reminded her of that. So now she only paints in acrylics, and
she says it in such a matter of fact. She's like, oh yeah, and then I had a breakdown. I can't use oils anymore. Yeah. And it's like she literally doesn't. She's not inviting you to be like, oh poor Tracy. It's like this happened to me. And I can't use the oils anymore. Actually, I'm
just
because it's normal.
Occasionally,
yeah.
I do think. I wonder if she is getting the right help. Like, I wonder if she's on medication. Like, I wonder if. It's hard to get a sense of, like, how she is when she's on her own.
That's another thing about the oversharing is, like, it is kind of, even though you do feel connected to her, it is hard to get a sense of how she might be as a person because her default state is, this happened to me, blah, blah, blah.
She's classic big ego, low self-esteem, like all creatives.
Yeah.
Because she talks about her ego, and I really respect that. Mm. She works so hard, clearly. And that's the thing I think she says all the time, that it's just hard work, and that she has worked so hard.
Mm.
David Hockney says that. He said that in something I was watching the day, that, like, great artists aren't bohemians, they're grafters. And I think that's true.
It's
like,
so true.
You don't get to be where she is without just tons of hard work.
She says it, I think it might be in the same interview I was quoting earlier, where she says, if you're an artist who wants to just sit and paint all day, then this is not the industry for you. Like, you need to be... She's in her studio, she's got four floors, and it's all full of offices of her accountants and people who are working for her, and it's not
the business side. I'm terrible at all of that. I'm really, really... I tried to get more kind of with it, pay attention. It's so boring.
It's so boring! And it kills the creativity as well. It's such a fine line balancing the two, and I guess she can afford to have lots of people working for her and doing that side of it.
Yeah,
but still,
the slightest bit of, like, whenever anyone puts pressure on me to do anything, even like a tiny, even just like a inquiry about how is it going, I immediately drop that because it's too much pressure.
You're
and
like,
start writing the thing that no one knows about or
no
one's asked about. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's like not being able to stare directly at the sun or something.
I totally relate to
this.
That
is
crazy.
I think it's mad to, and I think I'm always so impressed, particularly with her, if you're doing autobiographical stuff.
Yeah.
You're then really dependent on things happening in your life, I don't know, and or at least having an opinion about the world and a way of viewing the world.
That's the truth. Can I eat this? Was it bad for sand?
No, go ahead.
I got into trouble once for eating that.
I'm going to join you and have the other strawberry dream.
Interestingly, she said the other day that she'd created something because of a dream she'd had. And you sort of think, oh, so she's... It's like you can be a vessel.
Let's open at the same time.
And
they're eating roses.
I'm stuck. I'm stuck.
The noises from chocolate wrappers.
I know what you mean, because at the moment when I'm writing about things, all I can think is to write about things that were bad. It never occurs to me to write about, like, a joyful thing.
That's so interesting.
Oh, it's coffee.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Got another one.
Okay.
What's that? Hazel.
My good friend Hazel.
I think that's really human. My friend went to therapy the other day and she was told to bring 20 key moments from her life.
Mm.
And she brought them and the therapist said, I didn't ask you to bring 20 key bad moments
from
your life. And I was like, whoa! and it implied that she's got a really negative way of looking. But I don't think that's true. I think that's what you assume, that the things that have had the most impact on you are the bad things and the negative things. Because if they're good, then you tend to have... dealt with them in a different way than making a big picture like she does with her trauma.
And so I've started to think this is really bleak, but the most joy I get at the moment is things being over.
Yeah.
When something's been
That's
difficult
fucking brilliant.
And it ends. Such a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Or like when some exercise is over.
That's fair enough. Are you
You've done the thing and it's ended.
Are you waiting for this to be over right now?
No.
Are you enjoying Brexit at the moment?
Oh, I guess enjoy isn't the right word. I've become really good at swerving with Uber drivers and stuff. I've become really good at, like,
taking the wheel,
not talking about the driving. I meant swerving. Got like, or with just with cab drivers in general, when they start talking about it, I can pretty much tell straight away, like, how which way the conversation's going.
Mm.
And just to keep the peace, I have a way of talking about it without getting into it. Mm. So I've become quite good at that.
I always think actors are good at that. I always think actors are like... Was it you who told me... Well, probably avoidance as well, yeah.
Avoidance,
It's like that thing of, like, I think a lot of actors can tell where a conversation's going. because it's like we've been in improvisations or scenes in which we can like hear someone's tone of voice.
You're
that
so
we're like
good at, like dialogue.
Yeah, that we think this might lead into a question about this, so or this might lead into them telling me that their brother is an extra in EastEnders, and that's the same as what I do.
Is that why we're all really anxiety riddled? Because you're always forward planning for like what's coming next in the scene of life. Because you're always like going scenario, where are they going with that? And you're planning for it, and that's what anxiety is, isn't it? Being like hyper prepared for all outcomes of everything.
Yeah, like hyper vigilance.
Because she's Tracy Emin's come out and is being quite staunch about her opinion of not wanting to leave the EU. So she's a talk. She's like publicly.
She voted Remain.
She voted Remain, and she was on. Was it Andrew Marsh? She was on a show recently, reading out her letter that she's written to Theresa May, and encouraging everybody to write letters, because she's saying she does so much work in Europe, and she's very proud to be British.
Right.
Her politics is really interesting because she.
Yeah, it is.
I think she's a neoliberal, essentially. As far as I can tell, it's her conservative leanings are. I think they're associated with the fact that. She's got money.
She doesn't want to pay tax. That's the main.
She doesn't want to pay tax. Yeah. But also, I think she's. I mean, her star kind of rose under New Labour under that kind of the idea of like rich people being philanthropists and them deciding what they did with their money. And I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah,
I agree. I also think that people talk about her being this anomaly in the art world for being a Tory, and I don't. I think that's really misleading because actually the art world is very wealthy and
absolutely. It was last time I was in the Royal Academy, and then we were looking at.
So did you have a painting?
I did. Yeah, that's my varnishing day framed invitation.
So you had a painting at the Royal Academy?
Yes.
Yeah, so it here
in the summer exhibition? No, I sold it. It was a nude. It was a bum.
Can we see it? Have you got a... Was it your bum?
It wasn't.
Was it Tilly's bum?
I've got it on my phone.
I'm so impressed. That's amazing.
So not... Yeah, last summer. Not the one. It's about to start... What is it? Yeah, it's about to start again. I didn't enter this year because of various... Yeah, it was a huge deal. And
God, amazing.
Woo! Thank you. It was about... it was about 8 weeks after Deb passed away, something like that. So it felt really... significant that he would have really loved it.
If your origin of art came from, I mean, look at his work, it's amazing.
It's so beautiful, that painting your dad did.
It's like a farting bum.
Yeah, I have seen it, yeah. That's
really
so
exciting.
Cool.
It was in Grace and Perry's room, which was a thrill.
That is
if
amazing.
I ever meet him.
That is amazing.
Him.
You can see
so he chose it.
Yeah. I think so.
Grace,
I want
that's
to cry.
Amazing.
I literally want to cry. That's the best thing I've
so
ever seen.
So, for podcast listeners,
can you do an audio description?
So, it's like a very beautiful
back of a woman.
Back of a woman with like a voluptuous bottom. And then there's like a kind of like comedy fart coming out of the bum.
It was called A Little Trump. That's why I think it got in.
A Little Trump?
It was like a pathetic attempt at satire.
I love
that's so
amazing.
Cool because it's so beautiful and then it's really funny as well.
And it looks like Vandalus, like a classical painting that's been almost graffitied.
I like that. I'm not putting myself down. I do feel like because it was him, he said, "Oh, I want something funny and something which is about kind of the UK now." So, you know, who knows. I feel like if it had been just a normal year, that I wouldn't have got in. If it was just based on skill, I think the fact that it was kind of amusing,
I disagree.
Helped. It was the mood.
But that's art.
Do you know
that's
who?
Art.
Do you know who bought it?
Yeah, it was a dude in Norfolk.
Fair play to him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's really funny, actually. What I mean, if you listen to this, obviously I'm very grateful, but the address was sort of ambiguous. I couldn't tell if it was like a pub or a how, whatever. So I just emailed him and said, just out of interest, like, is this, what is, you know, what is it? He said, it's just my house. So it's just, yeah.
Hanging in some questions.
Yeah, it's just, okay, fine. Just in a house.
It's just in a sex dungeon.
in a fart-themed sex dungeon.
In his room full of pictures of me. Like an Alan
Partridge. Oh, I hope that's true.
I hope that's true. I hope he thinks I'm someone else as well. Like a guy, it happened recently, a guy sent a picture of a just random actress in her 30s with dark hair and asked for a signature.
No!
Yeah, did you send it back?
No, I just left it on the side. What were we saying? Oh, yeah, so we're in the RA because I'd gone to see the painting. It's really sweet. They let you go in for free when it's on. Mm. So I took maybe 6-7 different people round and just went, there it is. It was what I really loved was hearing people say stuff about it in front of me. That was really exciting.
That's amazing.
It was a really amazing feeling. But we were in the shop afterwards and I was looking at this Tracy Emin book and I hadn't kind of thought about her for a few years until, like, I thought about her now, and I said something about her, and then my friend was like, "Oh, she's a big old Tory now." I was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I didn't know this." And he went, "Yeah, he said that, like, who was it? Someone commissioned. It must have been when David Cameron was probably in power. That she, one of her neons was like had been commissioned by David Cameron to be.
Yeah, he owns one of her pieces, yeah.
And I was quite upset when I heard that. Mm. And I was like, she's not just being sort of rebelling against what the norm?
Mm.
And my friend was like, no, it's because she's got money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably that.
But then she's always called herself a socialist and a feminist, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But I think, I mean, people understate the amount that having money changes your perspective on the world. Like Adele, yeah.
But you must think everything's fine. Like she said, the reason she voted Tory is because, isn't everything great at the moment? And you want to go, it's great for you at the moment because you've lost all sight of how other people live because that's not your life anymore.
But this is a question we always come back to on this podcast is,
oh, really?
Is it okay to like someone even though they have views diametrically opposed to your own? Yeah. And we keep coming back to the same thing of, I mean, Tracy Emin to me is so easy to love as a person. Yeah. I connect so much with her when I'm watching interviews with her.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel wonderful about my own life.
Yeah.
I totally see myself in her.
Yeah, oh my God, I do.
Yeah, and then when you know that about her, it is difficult to reconcile in your brain.
I feel like I have more in common with her than I do so many like people in comedy or actors.
Yeah.
It's such a specific way of being in the world.
Would you ever want to meet her?
Oh my God, yeah.
I'd love to meet her.
Oh, well, let's get her on.
You should. I'm sure she'd do it.
I feel like with her, it's like that thing of, like, because she relates to the world in this kind of, like you said, she is living art and her relationship to her art. I feel like meeting her wouldn't be a letdown at all.
Yeah, you're right.
Whereas, like, I feel like meeting anyone, they always say don't meet your heroes. Yeah. And I think in, like, 70% of cases, it's probably a good idea.
But also, don't you think that you can meet, like, you can meet someone, you can be such different versions of you on different days that it would just, you know, it's just the way it is. I imagine her being very much like that, but on a Tuesday it would be, like, cool. On a Wednesday it would be, like, a completely different experience.
Yeah.
Thursday, depending on, like, what happened when you met her.
Maybe this is idealising her, but I feel like whatever she'd be like, she would unapologetically be herself.
Yeah, this is definitely what
she'd just, you would, so you know that,
you know that, the video you watched of her mixing the paints, and I can't remember what it's called. Oh, it's called What Do Artists Do All Day?
Yeah, love that series.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where she's just sat on a sofa looking at this big canvas and she's like eating this sandwich. And the way she eats the sandwich, I'm sounding, you know, I am idolising her now. But she just eats the sandwich. And I'm like, There's no situation in which I would be confident enough to sit in front of a camera and eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Unless I'd been paid a lot of money to do it and they were like, in this scene you're going to eat a sandwich. I'd be like, okay. But she's eating like a plain, like white bread. I think it looks like tuna.
Right.
Or something
she
like
don't
that.
Care.
And she just eats, she's like, yeah, I think I'm going to. I really want to have a go at the big canvas today, but I'm going to see how I fit. And like just eating the sandwich.
Yeah.
And there's no trace of any.
Yeah.
Like she's not worried pretension. About how she comes across.
I love the way she talks about her body, like now she's older.
Mm.
When she says that she does self-portraits, nudes, that she's kind of painting her old body, that sort of 20-year-old's body, and now she's in her 50s, it's a different body, and that she can't accept it. And I think I'm going to be like that. Like, I really understand. It almost feels like there's an age where you go, right, this is me, and then anything other than that, you're just like, no, this doesn't feel right. I kind of really understand that.
Yeah, totally.
Almost like you're kind of frozen in time, suspended.
And she does have a kind of childlike quality still, doesn't she?
Oh my God, yeah.
It must be weird
and
as
I
well.
Think I'm always going to have that too.
Yeah, and I guess you have this. We all have the same thing if what you're doing, particularly if you're writing or you're painting and it's autobiographical, then you have already preserved yourself at 21 or whatever.
Yeah.
So then when you're painting at 45 or painting for the rest of your life, you still have that solidified, timeless version of you at 21 that exists, whereas most people, like, it's fluid and transient. You almost can't remember yourself at that age, or you've moved with it, but she's so, like, so preserved, isn't she, through all those different ages?
Yeah, it's so true. It's weird. Like, sometimes I come in late at night, if I watch TV, I'll see myself. I'll be like a repeat of something I was in when I was like 26 or something. And it's weird because it's like a document of you aging.
Yeah.
And I'll look and I'll think, my God, like, I just had no idea. My skin is luminous. Like, all I remember is the insecurity. And to see it now, I just think, jeez, I had no idea. I had no idea of, like, the power, the options, you know, I had.
But you know you'll do the same in 10 years when you look at yourself now.
I try and think about that. She said something the other day. I was having a friend of mine who sort of is really into their Buddhism, their kind of ideal. I was saying that in an interview recently, she said something as a kind of throwaway comment. She said, I just want to... As I get older, I don't want to eat. I want to have no needs at all. I just want to have no needs. I want to be really thin. I want to be totally alone and have no needs. That, and then my friend, who I think as a Buddhist, maybe their ideal state is to not have needs or to not have expectation, was like, yeah, totally. That sounds great. That was really... And I was like, no, it's wrong.
Inhuman.
It's wrong. Yeah, I was sort of thinking, no, it's
eating.
Wrong.
That's all I focus on
every
day.
That's the only joy, really.
But I guess it's interesting, isn't it? Because that state of anorexia is so, like, one of self-sufficiency and control and don't come near me. And it felt like that's what she was saying. Like, she just wants to be left alone and to do art. But
it's interesting.
It's sad.
Did the person who was interviewing her respond? Because that's a Tracy Emin thing as well. Of here's a picture of my rape, and they go, okay, so tell us about the lines on it.
It was called In Conversation, and he's a sociologist. Is that a word?
Yeah,
it sounded wrong as I said it.
Sounds impressive.
He was interviewing her. I don't think he really responded to it. I don't think anyone would know how to respond to that.
Mm.
I think a good person would know how to respond to that. He didn't.
But this is interesting about the kind of your relationship with your art. She said in I can't remember if I think it was the What Do Artists Do All Day, when she's like, she's basically talking about the fact that she has no relationships in her life, and that her art is the thing that sustains her. And I think to anyone else, they might look at her and pity her. But I just look at it and I was like, oh, what a fucking great life. And I think that's... I don't know if that's because...
I see freedom,
for
sure. And I see power.
Yeah.
And doing what the hell you like.
But does that necessarily mean that you're happy?
She's
Does happiness come with a price tag of you have to give up some element of control? Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, can women have it all? Isn't it?
Because that's
like
what
that.
She said. She said, if I had children, I'd either be a terrible mum or I'd be too good a mum that I would lose the art, and I don't want to lose the art. So she's saying no, I guess.
Yes, that she chooses the art, which I totally get.
And I think it does look amazing, but I think it's just another form of a relationship, isn't it? Where that's her life is her art, and she clearly gets lots from it. But I bet there's days when she fights with it, and I bet there's days when...
Also, I guess, like, you can't, as a woman, you can't make those choices in a vacuum. It's always going to feel like I really hope it is her choice, and that it wasn't just, like, hiding disappointment that she didn't have children or she didn't.
Yeah.
It would be amazing, because I feel like it should be a shame-free, great, valid choice for all women. But it must be quite hard to separate what you want from... socialisation, I guess.
Oh, completely. And then society's view of women of a certain age who haven't married and haven't had kids. Yeah. There's like an artwork that's like, it's like a swan on top of the like white block.
It's the Black Swan story, isn't it?
And it just says humiliation on it.
Yeah.
And she was like just talking about it with like this slight smile on her face. Yeah. And that's what made me feel like, oh, this is like totally her choice, but she knows that she's reflecting what society thinks of women who choose not to have kids.
I also think I know a few women in their 40s that, because of their emotional problems, couldn't really make a relationship work and therefore have children. And
they've all had children.
Who haven't had children. So I feel like sometimes it's not like this bold choice. Sometimes it's like...
It's just life.
Yeah, like I wasn't able to join society in a normal, heterosexual, heteronormative, you know, 2.4 way. And they're happy in another way, but, yeah, because of sort of mental health issues, it wasn't necessarily the right thing. Mm. They just had to get themselves well and okay. And I also really respect that, because... I guess it's not about having a child if you feel like you're not mentally healthy enough to be a parent.
I don't know that I'll ever feel like that.
I never hear people talk about that. I really don't. I've never heard people say that is another consideration, that they don't feel emotionally well enough to be a parent. And I think more people should think about that, shouldn't they?
I think they definitely should. And it's like that shame thing of like, the idea is that you just have kids and that's just what you do. And I just think that that's such an empty way of looking at it. Because I just feel like it should be... Like you, Helen, I know that like for you, having kids is something that's like...
Want loads of babies, yeah.
And it's like a need. It's like a primal need that you have. And I totally respect that, because I'm like, that's coming from something that's really true. But then... When you don't want kids, it's like you think you know your truth, and then you read something or you see something, and because it's the absence of something rather than having something, it's very difficult to decide in your own mind if it is the right choice or not. And that fucks with my head more and more.
It's the fear of regret as well, isn't it? Because it feels like it's a final decision.
Totally.
I think it's the fear of... Yeah, just having any bitterness, which is such a horrible emotion, and regret is a horrible emotion, and resentment, that would be awful.
And the fear of being left behind as well, I always feel like that when, like my friends from back home started having kids and stuff, and I there's not a future in which I can imagine it for myself. I can't, it's not that I'm like, oh... That's totally, like, I can't ever imagine a version of myself that's capable of it. But, like, I just can't imagine ever sitting down and making the decision.
Yeah. I also think that, like, that thing that Tracy Emin says, it feels quite either or. I think that I would take it, if I was a parent, I'd take it so... I feel like it would be all-consuming.
Mm.
Because I would just be so scared about screwing up the kid and not being there. I feel like I would drop everything.
I think that's exactly what she's saying, is I would either be shit or I'd that's all I would do. Yeah,
in quite an obsessive, yeah. I think that's how I see it, kind of either or.
She's also really...
Because I wouldn't want to be apart from them ever. Yeah, like, that would be it.
And you probably feel a lot of pressure intense. If you were Tracy Emin, that if you did script your kid, everyone would go, of course.
Because it's Tracy Emin's kid, of course they're
off the trolley. Yeah.
She's also been an extraordinary mother, clearly, as well.
But. She's really, I don't want to say victim of, I can't think of another way of saying it. She's victim of the fact that there's only one of her as well.
Yeah.
Like, she's representing so many things. I think if there was more women, visible women in the art world, there wouldn't be so much speculation around her personal life. It would just be coincidence that she's single and doesn't have babies.
It's funny, in some of these interviews with these old blokes, these kind of old gammony art world they treat her like, they sort of have a bit of a flirt with her, they would treat her like she's a little bit naughty and it's all a bit sexy and she's all those things, but it also maybe feel really protective of her and like fuck off, she's so much more than that.
Respect her.
I feel like she's having to defend herself quite a lot more than so many other people of her age who are that established would have to. It's what it feels so like. And then, but it also, it's sort of... and the implication is she's brought it on herself somehow by making this kind of slutty work everyone I've ever slept with. Even I've never seen it in the flesh, but from what I've read about it, it's like, as in, you know, being in a bed with.
Yeah, it's in... So, like, it's the names of everyone that she's ever slept with.
So it's about intimacy.
Including her family.
And it's, like, a really, like, it's embroidered, and it's, like... And the way it was written about in the press was, like... It's a sex tent. There's dildos on the wall, and it's like, no, it's just like, it's like a, it's a work about what does it mean to sleep next.
It's a sex tent.
It's a sex tent.
It makes me think of, you know, the Frankie Boyle always says that thing. I'm sure I've mentioned this before on the podcast. Sorry to be boring, but he always says that thing about when he says an offensive joke.
Yeah,
those tabloid newspapers will always print the joke and then say how offended they were by it, and so therefore they get both. They get the titillation of the joke, and I think the same happens with Tracy Emin, where the fact they're calling it a sex tent or whatever, however they've publicised
that was just my advice. I should say.
Also,
that.
I keep hearing sextant, as in like sextant. The piece of equipment.
What is a sextant?
It's like a measuring thing. It's how you measure heights, I think.
I thought it was a fountain.
That looks like a it's like a camera.
It's like an L shape, isn't it? Yeah.
And they put it on a stand, those high vis.
Yeah.
A sextant.
A sextant.
But there is a real, like, people really want to be shocked by her. Mm. And I remember they were reading about the exhibition she did in Venice, which was the...
the Biennale, or whatever, however you say it.
And everyone was really anticipating what it was going to be. And then actually...
It was some watercolours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it got a really bad review... saying just that by someone that I remember saying she was really upset about, that it sort of said, oh, this is so tame, we were expecting like legs akimbo, pubic hair. The way she talks about pubic hair is really great, because she draws it so much of it in. I really love that. All her female nudes are really
got a big
hairy
mercury on them.
That feels really great.
She talks about how she doesn't like being super explicit though with nudity, which again surprises people, I think. She won't graphically draw, you know, just the sexual body parts. She sees the bodies as a whole. Almost.
Because I think it is that thing of, like, actually people think that she is this shocking thing, but she is actually incredibly sensitive. Yeah. So I think that is the perspective that comes out.
Yeah, she's not doing things to shock people. Yeah. She's just drawing or making work that
you can tell that it's her whole lifeline. That she'd kind of disappear if she wasn't being creative.
Totally.
And I know people like that, and I think people, unless you're like that, it's hard to understand that it feels like if you can't make stuff, you just feel so depressed. You feel like you have no purpose. It really feels like she's one of those people that kind of would die without being able to do her work. It feels like it's a total extension of how she copes.
It's that thing of, like, I remember my having a chat with my therapist about this, where we were talking about the fact that, like, people don't look at the role of creativity in their own lives and their own well-being. So Tracy Emin is clearly in this committed relationship with her art, and there are so many people who would benefit from that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily realise it, or they haven't been, they haven't had the opportunity to develop it in their own life. And again, it's that thing of like, it doesn't have to be, it's the capitalist thing of, we think we have to do things in order to be successful, and if we do something and it's not commercially successful, then we failed.
Mm.
But really, art should be about your own relationship with yourself, and that connection, that making of something, I think is like...
Yeah, it's quite a spiritual thing, isn't it, really? It's how, I agree, like...
But I really struggle to create when I'm depressed. I don't know if you struggle with that.
It really depends, really, on the type of depression. What's going on? It depends on the weather, you know, the internal weather.
Yeah.
I definitely suffer from a kind of perfectionist... Like, even if I was going to... thought, oh, I'll do some sketching or something. Just if it's not good, I scribble it out, you know. It's, and I watch my nephew do it, and he's sort of seven. If the shark isn't perfect, he just like gets really upset. And I think, oh, maybe that's something which is he's inherited.
It's genetic.
Maybe that's
yeah.
everyone's got that. But yeah, it's like having sort of compassion with yourself to make mistakes, I suppose, isn't it? If you're just creating. For its own sake.
That's what's wonderful about Tracy Emin in like the spelling in her work.
Yeah. Mm.
The fact that she never corrects it. Mm. I think that's like kind of a wonderful quality. That
yeah, this it's really brave, isn't it, to be like that? I don't know. I wonder where she's got that from, because she doesn't seem to be willing to compromise on who she is, and she doesn't seem to be willing to. Sort of self-sacrifice or make herself smaller to have a more kind of pleasant time. I really admire that.
Mm.
I think that takes a particular... I'd love to be more like that. Less... I'd love to be less kind of... I'm getting better at it, being less compliant, I guess. Mm. I really admire that about her.
I mean, you are with your fart. Your little trunk.
I think Tracy would love that.
Tracy would love
Maybe
that.
Maybe she saw it.
She probably did.
She must have gone round.
She probably did.
Oh my god, what a thought. I mean, Grayson Perry, that's pretty big enough.
He didn't only see it, he chose it.
Well, it was in his room, the yellow room. I don't know if you saw it, it was so amazing. I mean, I've heard some people sort of say it's a bit, they find the exhibition a bit, I don't know what the word would be. I suppose it's a bit middle class.
Right.
The whole thing, I guess. I mean, I think it's amazing because anyone can enter, and you know, everyone does all over the world. I can't wait to go this year.
Is it just drawings?
No, it's...
I've never been.
It's all... You'd love it. It's all mediums. So it's always... It will be on this summer.
Mm.
I think it's June till end of August.
Okay.
It's been going for 200 years or something.
Wow.
So the Varnishing Day is this huge tradition... I guess they didn't do it anymore, but in the old days they would have literally varnished. And then there was this huge... there's a church service where they bless all the artists in St. James's, which is left over from the 1800s. I couldn't go because I was filming that thing.
Yeah.
That show I don't like filming. and I think that's when I decided I had to get out, because the idea that I couldn't be at Varnish... I couldn't get blessed.
Because you were having to be...
fucking... some mediocre show. I was like, this is like the universe telling me.
It's time,
But not in St. James's. So I never got my blessing. So, you know, maybe she can help.
Help
me get my blessing.
Bless imagine Tracy having blessing you, or like being the officiant at your wedding. Maybe. I would buzz off that. That would be amazing.
I wonder if you spent time with her, whether... you'd end up sort of rescuing her, or whether she would be rescuing you.
Yeah,
like, it's hard
to tell, isn't it, these people? My friend had it with Maria Bamford recently, who met her and said that she was actually very, like, she had to comfort her. It's like, it's so fascinating, because it's like we were saying earlier, you can't tell, because you know, because they're not that their vulnerability is performed, but you also know there must be this really functional person there.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
you wouldn't know their name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
You have to get out of bed, get your pants on the right way, and get out and do things.
Yeah.
Don't you? You have to be functioning. Mm. So it's hard to tell, but maybe, like, like we were saying, depending on the day of the week, you'd either come across as like, I mean, I can swing from real like grandiosity to sort of like just wanting help.
Yeah.
It's such a sort of, I don't know, I just assume that's normal.
I think it is normal.
But then I know some people, unless they're hiding it, who seem so, they seem very steady.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to have these big...
It's all a performance, I reckon.
I think so, or they're kind of dead.
Yeah, inside. They're dead emotionally, yeah.
Yeah, they've cut off from the world.
I think all the men.
Both, probably.
So male friends.
You've been spending like... too much time with your male friends, that's the problem.
Cut them out.
Yeah.
So that was Tracy Emin.
Thanks so much, it's been so good.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
Me?
Are you on the Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
I find your tweets very amusing.
Oh, thank you. I had one, this is a ridiculous story, I'll tell you quickly, maybe it will help, someone can help me. I had an old account and it got shut down. So people think that the new one isn't me because I'm not verified. The old one was verified. It got shut. It sounds really dodgy, but I put a picture up and they said it was a copyright problem.
Yeah.
And I just didn't, they kept sending an email. I didn't read it. And then one day they just said, you've broken the copyright rule. We've shut your.
No, permanently.
Thing down, permanently. And this was like 4 years ago. So I just gave up and started a new one, but I lost like all the followers and just started again. And people quite regularly tweet me and say, is this you though?
You're the real one.
And I thought, yeah, it is. The other one still exists, but I can't access it. I mean, the thing is, my whole life, me and technology, it's always gone wrong. Like my whole life. At university, my first day, I went to the library to register and the woman said to me, oh, you've fallen off the system. And I feel like from that day, from the age of 18, it's always been like this.
What did you do against technology that means it's trying to avenge you?
I don't know. I'm just a real Luddite. So
you're a woman of the world, not of the...
You're a woman of the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like a nature child.
Yeah.
I am on Twitter.
All right, so everyone what else? Go follow Katie
I am
Wicks.
On Instagram.
And she's funny on both of them.
And I
recommend.
And I live in London. You can see me walking around London.
You've got some books as well, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I wrote this collection of monologue books. They're called... What are they called? The Oberon Book of Comedy Monologues for Women.
Oh, there's I've two got that. Different volumes.
No way!
Yeah.
There's two different volumes. The books are pink and purple.
You're
I'm writing another book at the moment, but I mean, I'm not... I don't know if I'm allowed... I mean, I say that like anyone fucking cares. I mean, it's not, like, been announced publicly. Mm. I know, and they know.
Yeah.
No one else knows.
You're doing a thing.
I'm doing a thing. It's terrifying. I'm convinced it's going to be awful. I'm so convinced.
It's going to be fantastic.
If it's anything like this conversation we've had, it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
You are fantastic.
Oh, thank you, guys. So you really make me feel good, actually, today. I really needed
likewise.
That.
Likewise. It's been really fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.